Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We've spoken about it quite a bit this morning. You can't beat a bit of good weather. And the best way to enjoy it for a lot of people is as a family, to get out and about, to get out there. But how can you avoid arriving at your destination, having already ruined the day by losing it in the car on the way there? And let's face it, it's happened to us all. Well, Deirdre Holland-Hannon is a behavioural specialist with advice on how to keep a lid on it for your road trip this weekend. Deirdre, how are you?
Hi, Lassie, how are you?
I'm excellent, and I'm just really interested in hearing what these tips are, because I am going to be on a plane on Sunday with a one-year-old, and I'm absolutely planking myself.
I know, and I've been there, and it is such a tricky age, and I suppose the best news I can give you is it does get easier and does get better, but this will, you know, be the hardest age of those little kind of toddle years, when they're kind of looking to be moved and all the rest. So I suppose the first thing I always say to parents is, you know, manage your own expectations from the get-go. And I remember when we first flew with two of our boys under three, you know, we kind of said to ourselves, look, if it's a total disaster, let's remember to park the journey and get on with the holiday until we have to get back on the plane again. Because it's hard sometimes to shift the trauma, isn't it? Because it feels like trauma.
And I'd say also, if it does turn out to be a horrific journey, whether it's in the car or on a plane, mm-hmm. I would imagine that the minute the journey is over, you're just thinking, I can't believe we have to do that again to get home.
And as well, let's face it, with kids' behaviour and parental behaviour, you know, we tend to sometimes bring it through with us throughout the day. You know, so if you have a bad morning, you know, sometimes we find it hard to move on because, you know, we've driven them mad, they've driven us mad, and we kind of hold it sometimes and find it hard to shake off. So I remember our first flight. I have to say, I've probably had worse car journeys than I've had flights. Sometimes the flights are better than you think because the novelty and all the rest. And I remember our last flight coming home from Florida because my brother lived there. The people behind us said, oh, I was actually dreading when I saw you coming in with the two kids. But it turns out you weren't actually the worst on the flight at all. It was two grown-ups who were more disruptive.
Oh, God.
On the flight than us. So, you know, there's always a silver lining, guys. And there might be always someone worse than you. But
so manage,
I was thrilled.
Manage your expectations. And,
expectations.
I mean, and try and park it. If it's a bad journey, leave it there.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, if there's anything to be taken from a bad journey, it's what can we do differently next time? How can we prepare? What method may be worse? And I suppose one of the best things I've been saying this summer that I find makes my house easier, we have a 9-month-old now as well, Lottie, so we're kind of in the trenches with yourself.
Okay.
But is to sit in the back seat. Sometimes we, you know, pop them in the car seat and we automatically go in the front seat.
Yeah.
You know, if you can move those car seats around, I sit in between the two youngest now, wherever we go, and it has been a bit of a game changer for the car journeys. Because otherwise, you're parenting from the front. You have no actual access. You know, it's so, I suppose, such a confined space. Obviously, everyone's nervous systems get a little bit on edge. And sometimes one in the mix of five can start setting everyone off. Mm. So, you know, if you can manage that a little bit more proactively and at the source, you can probably save everyone a little bit of stress and maybe, you know, contain. Because really, like, that's where, you know, we all start coming out in a rash. You know, it's when we all start setting each other off and then there's crying and then another person's upset and this and that. So definitely look at your logistics when it comes to car journeys, for sure. Look at your timing when it comes to car journeys, especially for the likes of our little people that are 1 and 9 months. You know, if you can leave on a nap, if they're good to sleep in the car seat, monopolize on that big time. And with your little toddlers, then you say you're under fives, you're under fours, look at your pit stops, you know, where can you stop? Will you need to stop? I had one and you could drive anywhere and they would have slept for the whole journey.
Wow.
I had two and you cannot do that. Like, they will be up after 45 minutes an hour, no matter where we go. So they take a little bit more planning than my first man, who was just a saint. You'd get into the car in Kildare and he'd sleep the whole way to home, to Limerick.
I mean, but then what happens if, so say like yourself, you've got more than one. And like, let's face it, being in the car can get a little bit boring. What happens if they start turning on each other?
Well, that's why you're better off being in the middle. You can kind curb. You'll see that coming. You'll see the kind of, you know, I'm like poke the bear scenario coming, and you'll be able to curtail it if you're there. Whereas if you're up the top listening to the radio and they're at the back with headphones on, you'll probably miss where this starts coming in. And look, the parenting ethos most definitely at the moment would be, you know, the trend in the parenting industry. You know, let them work things out themselves, and, you know, don't hover and don't overparent and all the rest, which is lovely, fabulous, you know, when you're at home and you're in the safe surroundings. The car probably isn't the place for that parenting tactic or approach, although maybe, you know, the most holistic, but in a confined space, you know, just cut it off. Just parent the hell out of it.
Don't worry about helicoptering. Do you know what I find works as well? I did a plane journey with my little lad a couple of months ago. Now, it probably was easier then than it will be now because he wasn't mobile. But one of the things that really worked for me was a friend gave me a tip saying, get a new toy or something and don't let him see it until you're sitting on the plane. And then I produced this new colourful little toy, and it was easily an hour's worth of him going, whoa, what is this? And
100%,
completely 100%. Distracted.
And you know what it is, it's with anything. And if your budget is tight, don't even worry about being new, and especially for your little man, because that age range, take things take favourites at home out of being freely accessible weeks before the journey.
Okay.
And even reintroducing them. We'll say, I would do toy rotation here, and they mightn't see like the farm set for 6 months, and it comes out and it's like Christmas morning, and you get, you know, a week's peace out of it. So the same for journeys, or even if you have little people that find nappy changing tricky, you know, getting into the car seat tricky, all those kind of trigger areas like the buggy tricky, have, you know, little favourites taken out of being freely accessible, specifically for those areas. They don't kind of, you know, access them anywhere else. And then, you know, we're doing nappy time. Will I get your special, you know, chase toy that you love? And here you go, and I'll do your nappy instead of like wrestling you around on the floor. The same for the flights, the same for the car. You know, obviously if you can get novelty bits that they might like, great, but everyone's budget's a little bit tighter this year. So don't be afraid to just look around the house, take them out of being accessed for like weeks or even 2 months, however organised you are. And another friend gave me a great tip once and said, wrap them like they're presents. And even the unwrapping is so exciting. And I thought it was a great tip she gave me.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and another friend gave me a brilliant one years ago for the older kids, was a clipboard, because they can do any of their activities on a clipboard. It's purpose of a table, you know, a drawing pad, you name it. Even for the smaller guys with, you know, the water wows and things like that.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
I have loads of ideas like that on my social media. Have a look at them before you fly, laddie.
So wait, what's your social media handle, Deirdre?
It's D. Hallhan, but you'll get it if you type Deirdre Holland Hannon in. But I've loads for the cars, for flights, everything, for the three different age groups, infants, babies, toddlers, young kids. And it could give you some tips of maybe what would suit little Wolf between here and then, or little things maybe, you know, that might entertain him.
And they also say, I mean, it seems fairly obvious, but I mean, food, full stop for me.
Oh, yeah.
I know what his favourite snacks are, and I know when they come out he is going to be happy.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd hold them off. I'd go with your novelty thing. And
okay,
when the kind of, you know, when the wheels are coming off a little bit, then, like, especially if you know he's not actually hungry, I'd nearly hold them off till you fail. You've kind of all other resources used, and then be like, now my snacks.
Exactly. We've got a text in here, Deirdre, saying, morning guys, great tip for flying with kids that we found definitely helped us is to try to plan the flights near their nap times. Also, book the front seats because you get the extra leg room. You can make your own little makeshift playpen area and they can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's kind of hard to believe you could time the flights. That, well, great if you can, but like with the delays and everything that's going on in the airport, you'd just be glad to get on your flight.
Totally, but the extra leg room in the front seats would be helpful, I think.
Totally, and certain long haul flights as well, you get your little carry cot for the baby, and you have to request that. So definitely look into, if you've any long haul flight, look into who you're flying with, and then what you kind of have to ring them directly rather than go, or maybe the chat sometimes is good with certain airlines too, but get that little carry cot. I had a guy, we went to the bother of ordering it and the whole lot, never sat into it. I had another fella and he did like it. So, you know, it really differs. I suppose the other thing for a big one for me is on the journeys and your staycations, bring the potty with you. Bring that down, coming down the line to you. Yet. Now, Lottie,
yeah, you're not at that stage yet, but
you can come back to me in about a year and a half.
Okay, my God. Another text saying, literally heading off on a road trip in an hour with three kids. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 9-month-old. Great advice. I am about to plonk myself now in the middle of the older two because they fight like cats and dogs.
Yes, and you look, you can do this. You've birthed and created these babies. You can do this. And you get in between them, play referee, play entertainer, chef, you know, all the rest. And it'll go for a smoother journey for sure. And then your little, you know, your younger little person in there will just love connection with mom as well. Like, they might just be thrilled to have that contact with you so close for the journey.
And you know,
during a transition.
And another thing is, dear Joan, it's obviously not so much for the car. This is more for the plane. But, and this could be just my mind. But one of the things that I would keep thinking is the fear of a meltdown and disrupting the other passengers. And people always say, oh, they don't mind. They do mind. I was that other passenger before I had a kid, you know.
I was that other person. I didn't mind to be anywhere near other children. I wanted child-free flying.
So how do you cope with that?
I think we have to, and it's hard. And I think I'm only barely there on the third child. But we have to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And we also have to, I suppose, remember that the older generations find it probably more difficult than us because they see behaviour different to us.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything about that. We're never going to change their mindset. If they're there looking at us going, oh my God, you know, I can't believe she's no control over our child. We have to remember that just says more about their, you know, conditioning and their rearing and their mindset than it does to have to do anything with our mindset and how we're parenting. And also we have to remember, our little people, if they're having a meltdown, pick them up, give them a cuddle. Some people are so afraid that doesn't look like traditional disciplining and we don't look like we're getting any respect and all those old things we were all reared with. But they need co-regulation. They're never going to calm down by telling them to calm down or stop crying. They need mom and dad and they need physical connection and that kind of time to cry it out and have that co-regulation, even if they've done, you know, I'm doing my quotation marks, something wrong, you know, that doesn't mean they still don't need us to comfort and console them back to a calmer place. So don't be afraid of that, because I think in public, and I find that, like a lot of my friends would say that, the hardest scenario in public is to comfort your child when they've done something wrong. Take like the playground, if they've hit another child, you nearly shouldn't be seen to be comforting your child as they were the person. But they, you know, they're at that developmental stage that the calm isn't coming without us. So don't be afraid to own it and be, you know, this is my child, they're upset, I know what they've done, we'll deal with that at a different time. I'm going to co-regulate, connect with them right now and, you know, understand that, yes, you can have done something wrong and still be really upset with yourself and really upset with people's reactions and all the rest too and need your mom or dad.
That's great situation. Advice, really good advice. If you have any tips for us, keep them coming in to 51552. Deirdre Holland-Hannon, thank you so much for those tips from limerick.ie. We'll see what listeners have to say and we'll be back after this.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.